Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hello, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you at Colombo Chronicles Live. And today we have a very special guest. She's an author, a lecturer, a coach. She's an actress. Her name is Jane Marla Robbins. And Jane Marla Robbins is fun to talk to. And she's exciting, she's empowering, enlightening, and she has tips for you about acting, because in life, we have to act in order to reach our goals, and that's exactly what we don't know how to do. And so in order to reach our goals, she is going to help us learn some of these wonderful secrets that the actors and actresses know who become very famous on Broadway and in the big silver screen. She's a best-selling author, and she has a great book, Acting Techniques for Everyday Life. Look and feel self-confident in difficult real-life situations. Don't we all want to do that? Well, yes, we do. And in a few minutes, we will be talking to Jane Marla Robbins. Stay tuned, grab a cup of coffee and grab a juice and sit back and relax. You might want to get a pen and pencil or paper and write some tips down, because, you know, if we write things down, we remember them. We think we're going to remember them, but we don't. And we always think, wow, I wish I would have written that tip down. Or if you don't do that, remember, all shows are archived, and you can come back to blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles, blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. And you can listen to Jane Marla Robbins all over again and write down those tips that you weren't able to write down today. Or you can listen to other archive radio shows with experts and authors from around the world who provide you with human interest stories. They share their tips on their expertise and their invaluable information. So we'll enter into the world of authors and experts in just a few minutes. But now I want to have you listen to a really important message. Have you ever thought about, gosh, I wish I had someone to ask about my particular issue, my concern? Because many times there are so many people who are so busy, whether they're family and friends, who appear to be listening, but they really aren't listening, who appear to be concerned, but they really aren't concerned, because they're more consumed with their own life. And you just want an answer, confirmation, a suggestion, some guidance. And of course you can go on your phone and text someone, but are you going to get a person who really cares about your concern or your question? Because today, communication is so important, and we don't really have that one-on-one human communication as we did in the past. So if you're looking for an answer to a concern or a question, especially if you're going through divorce, family law, custody issues, and you just have a question on your mind, or two, or three, this is what you may want to do. You may want to go to ColumboChronicles.com, fill out the information, and become a member and ask your questions and get an answer by an advocate for justice who has walked in your shoes and can answer your question with a suggestion that you will know is personal and confidential. So listen to this.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Columbo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColumboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Columbo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColumboChronicles.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. You're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we will be entering into the world of authors and experts in just a few minutes with our very special guest, Jean Marla Robbins, actress and scriptwriter, and has been seen on Broadway, has written scripts for Broadway and off-Broadway, and she's also a coach and a lecturer, and she's going to share some of her poetry, some of her work, and some of her information with you in just a minute so that you, too, can use those tips to achieve your goal in whatever career you are pursuing, or maybe you want to step up the ladder and get to a better position. We all need how to get self-confidence in our lives in order to do that, right? And many of us are fearful of taking those next steps because we've never learned how to do it. So this is your opportunity to find out how to do it and how to succeed. So we will enter into the world of experts and authors in just a moment. But let's see what's happening right now in the world. One article on LifeListensNews.com says that California school district says parents can't pull kids from the new LGBT sex education that is being taught in public schools. How do you feel about that? Do you feel it's okay to teach kids sex education, whether it's heterosexual or same-sex or transgender or bestiality or any other type of sex that the government decides in taxpayer-funded public schools, and they couldn't survive without your tax dollars, are going to teach your children without opt-outs. So you need to think about this. And because, in my opinion, they're robbing children of their innocence, and they're robbing parents of the right to teach their children the way they want to teach them, at the age they want to teach them, and how they want to teach them about sex. And, of course, it's a big concern because now they are pushing for same-sex bathrooms and same-sex showers and locker rooms for children and adults. But the children are the biggest concern. And how are they going to protect those children is even a greater concern. So something to think about and something that you need to think about, especially if you're a parent or a grandparent. It's a very important issue. And it's not about whether or not you approve of heterosexual marriage or same-sex marriage or heterosexual sex or same-sex sex, that isn't the question. The question is, they're implementing these sexual indoctrinations into public schools under public school education, but it's your tax dollars who pay their wages. It's your tax dollars who support the schools. And you are the parents, and you are responsible for what your children learn and what you want them to learn. So how do you feel about that? And how do you feel about the fact that they are not going to allow you to opt? I think that's so important, because we're talking about children as young as 5. And if it's going to be 5, it could go into the child care centers as well, and they could start talking to toddlers about sex. And in my opinion, a 5-year-old is, you know, the same as a toddler. They've just learned to actually walk and talk and comprehend some of the things that adults are telling them. But they're very vulnerable to believe everything that an adult is telling them. So who's going to monitor the teachers? Who's going to monitor what they are teaching them? And do you have rights to hire constitutional lawyers to opt out of these classes? To have your children opt out of these classes? Are you for homeschooling? Are you for private schools? Can you afford private schools? Lots and lots of questions are going to be popping up when your children start telling them all they know after they're being taught about sex as early as kindergarten. And then on another topic that's published online, the suspect in Molly Tibbetts' murder, the young lady who was kidnapped and never seen again for the past month, and the police have been searching for her. She would have been a junior in college this year. Very popular young girl, well-liked, beautiful. She was murdered. They just recently found her body, and they did a background check on the suspect, and he is illegally in the USA, which upsets a lot of Americans to know that this is happening, and that people, it's bad enough that we have people who are legal citizens committing crimes, but when we have people who are non-citizens committing crimes in violation of our laws, it makes it a lot more disconcerting and a serious problem for the government and for the American people when it comes to immigration laws and the divide between the pros and the cons. So there is another article you may want to read. You can Google it on AmericanThinker.com. It's a very good site. It says that Trump has not violated campaign finance laws, and here's why. So that should be very interesting, because the Mueller team is alleging that he may have violated campaign laws when he and his attorney were aware of a settlement offer that hit the news and involving an affair prior to elections, obviously. May have happened many years ago. And a settlement offer was made to settle the adulterous act, and that the settlement offer included the fact that neither party would speak about the incident ever again. So this is going to be interesting, because settlement offers are made all the time. They're made through arbitration. They're made through mediation. They can be made between two divorcees. They could be made between two business partners. they could be made through an employer and employee. There's so many different ways. The courts can even gag people from speaking about certain incidents in court cases. They can gag lawyers. They can gag litigants. They can seal documents. So the fact is that the laws are not black and white in all cases. But this is going to make a big difference as far as how far can an investigation go, is my question. When it started out about a Russian dossier and Uranium One, and then ended up with an attorney who made a wrote up a settlement offer to silence both parties in mutual agreement, who are adults and consented to the silence by making a settlement offer, and then bringing it up as a campaign violation down the road. So, yes, it is an important matter that we need to follow and learn if a settlement offer is a final decision made by the two adult parties, or if it can come up in the future and cause problems should a candidate run for public office. So on that note, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back in just a moment to enter into the world of authors and experts with our very popular special guest, Jane Marla Robbins. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a moment. And remember that you're listening to Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. our new time.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live because we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts. And today we have the popular author, lecturer, and coach, Jane Marla Robbins, who's also an actress and a script writer as well, who has produced off-Broadway and on-Broadway hits. She has a best-selling book that she's going to talk to us about today. She's also a very popular poet, and she has best-selling books on poetry as well, which she'll probably talk about a little bit. And her best-selling book is Acting Techniques for Everyday Life. Look and feel self-confident in difficult and real-life situations. And she's going to talk to us about how we can use her techniques and what she teaches to classes and workshops and lectures on around the world. And she's going to tell us how we can gain that self-confidence and learn those tips so that we can succeed in life in whatever career we choose to be in. She grew up in New York City, and again, she's written for Broadway, off-Broadway, and on-Broadway theater, and she starred in several stage productions. And she also wrote a play entitled Dear Nobody, and I want to talk to her about that too, because I can't even imagine a one-woman play and how talented you'd have to be to do a one-woman play, how much confidence you would have to have, and you would definitely have to have these tips. So let's talk to Jane Marla Robbins and say hello. Hi, Jane. How are you today?
Oh, Rose, I'm so excited to be on your show again. And you ask all the right questions, even your introduction when you mentioned all, you said my techniques. The truth is there are also techniques that I learned from 40 teachers. These acting techniques, it depends on who the actor is or who the person is to know which technique works the fastest, because obviously an actor can get on a stage, maybe, God forbid, their mother just died, it happens, and they have to not be sad on stage. They have to emit joy and self-confidence. Well, there's a technique which they can use and immediately transform themselves into their authentic, joyful self. And that's basically what I teach. Authentic, joyful.
Well, I know you're a very joyful person because I can feel it on the phone when I talk to you. I can feel it on the radio show when I talk to you. And I think the audience can feel it as well. And so I know you've received rave reviews for your books and your plays, even your poetry, and that wonderful happy book, Cafe Mimosa in Topanga. And so why don't you tell us, which do you prefer the best? Do you prefer writing plays, or do you prefer writing poetry or books? Which is it?
It's a wonderful, wonderful question because I've never asked it of myself. The truth is, it's kind of my favorite actors all respond when I'm asked, what was your favorite role? It's always the role I'm doing now. So I'm now editing a book called Dogs in Topanga, Book 2. And so this is my delight. Writing for me is like breathing, really. It's something I need to do for my mental health. And also there's a big part of me that wants to help people or lift people's spirits and or make them think. But the book that is making me smile most today is something called Poems of the Laughing Buddha, which is also on Amazon. And it's selling like hotcakes. And I think the reason is, as people email me, total strangers, they're a little depressed, they pick it up, and they're laughing. So this just makes me so happy, Rose. I love the process of writing, but when you get feedback like that, it's very validating. And I have to remind myself of that because probably like most writers, or maybe not all, I go through the deep tunnel of self-doubt and pain and anger and all of those human emotions. But at the end, I come out into the light and I'm writing and I'm making people feel better, which is amazing and fabulous, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely. And you know, talking about your new book, you wrote a poem, I think it is entitled My Dog is Crazy.
Oh, that's a poem in that book, in Dogs in Topanga. That's right. My dog was crazy, and she's dead. Now I have another one who really has a major role in the new book because he's insane. We go to the movies together. For some reason, he is so impressive, they just let us in without saying anything. And he doesn't bother anybody. He's totally quiet. And I guess, I think I'm writing a poem about that, too, because I know people raise eyebrows. I love that idea of raising the eyebrows. We have to exercise our faces. But the truth is, think outside the box, everybody. Where can you go for joy that's new for you so that you're not stagnant in your life, so that you are living as deeply as you can, as originally, and finally discovering more and more aspects of ourselves, which I think is one of the things we're here to do, along with service, along with loving. I mean, it's kind of all the same thing, I think.
Yes, and there's a lot of dog lovers out there, as we know.
Apparently, there's suddenly a slew of dog movies coming out. So I took that as a sign from the universe that I meant to finish this book. People love their dog. I mean, it's funny. In the Dogs and Topanga Book 1, which is also on Amazon, of all the poems in the book, I don't know how many there are, but that's not the point. Invariably, people say, my favorite was, and I have a sec just to read it to you, may I? It's really short.
Sure.
It says, it's called, hear the words, happy. Dogs are naturally happy. They naturally wag their tails and are happy. Can we not learn anything from dogs? Are we that stupid? We can put men into space or fly an airplane through one of the tallest buildings in the world, and we can't learn to wag our tails like a dog. And I need to remind myself of that. I mean, I suffer from depression, and then I have techniques, which are in that book you mentioned, Acting Techniques for Everyday Life, so that when, for whatever, I mean, listen, you read the headlines, just listening to your last five brilliant minutes, there is so much unhappiness and anger and fear in the world that sometimes we really need to find a technique to say, you know what, I don't have to be depressed right now. I mean, if your mother dies, yes, grieve and mourn, it's appropriate. But there's sometimes, and particularly for sensitive people, this wave of unhappiness can suddenly infect us because I don't think it's our true nature. And then I use an acting technique. Actually, all the acting techniques are simply techniques of self-transformation because, of course, that's what an actor does. He walks into the theater as a jerk maybe, and then he's on stage playing someone brilliant and is convincing.
That's funny.
I know, thank you for laughing.
That's
also
true, though. I mean,
I've been thinking a lot and reading a lot about how important laughter is. So, I mean, poems of the Laughing Buddha, I wrote simply on a whim because I got a statue of a Laughing Buddha. And I thought, oh, Jane, if you're a writer now, because I was totally focused as an actress for 40 years, well, you better write every day. So I wrote these poems, and now they're making everybody happy. It's like, so I have to do research on physiologically how important laughter is. That there's an entire research center at UCLA that Norman Cousins basically created, realizing that laughter actually changes our entire body chemistry. Our hormones change. The exercise, just the diaphragm going down, massaging the organs. There aren't many exercises even that does that. So it's, you know, laughter is fun, but I'll whisper this. It's also healthy.
It is very healthy, and it actually does. It stimulates something in the body and changes our whole mindset when we laugh, even no matter how sad we are. If someone makes us laugh, it makes us feel better. It makes us healthier.
All those endorphins come leaking out.
Yes, the endorphins.
Actually, there's an actress named Wendy Hammers who is now a victorious pancreatic cancer survivor. But when she was on chemo, she had terrible pain. But she found her friends gave her a tribute, and they're all stand-up comics. So she says she laughed so hard at the benefit that for 2 days she didn't even need pain medication. I mean, it's amazing. It's a mystery. I mean, people study it, and yet people don't value the laughter. I mean, if I laugh with a friend, I'm like, this is a good conversation. You and I have laughed. It's already a perfect conversation.
Well, you know,
on a more serious note, no.
Well,
I'm having too much fun. And that's another thing. There's a whole chapter in the Acting Techniques for Everyday Life book called Having Fun, because invariably clients come to me and they're not having fun. They're not enjoying their lives. It doesn't mean we can't be serious and meaningful and help people, but somewhere if the joy is missing, I don't think we're communicating the deepest lesson and gift we can give. Well,
you
that
know,
was a mouthful.
Like,
okay.
That's true, though, because my daughters and I laugh at just about everything, you know. And we find comedians so funny, you know, and we'll be like laughing our heads off. We went to a play up in LA and it was a one man play and he was so funny. I think it was my mother is Italian and my father is a Jew. And it was something
like
that.
Oh my God.
It was one of the funniest plays we ever saw. Cause we thought, well, how's one man going to pull this off? And he pulled it off beautifully, brilliantly. And we were laughing through the entire play because we're Italian, so we got it. We were laughing so hard. And then we still talk about it to this day. And the thing is, another thing we talk about is exactly what you're talking about, is that people don't smile anymore. They don't even laugh at jokes anymore. Everything.
I'm laughing because that's the saddest thing I ever heard. Right?
Right. And so I'm just, you know, so happy that you're writing these books because I think I believe like you do that we have to laugh at life or we'll always just get old and grumpy and look old and grumpy.
I'm coaching veterans now to help them with their job interviews. And I love making them laugh. And I remember one of my teachers saying, oh, yes, making you laugh? Hal Klerman, Broadway director, he said, because when people laugh, their mouths are open. Truth is a hard pill to swallow. So when they're laughing and their mouths are open, I just pop it in. So it's a teaching tool. And certainly veterans, I mean, I just got to meet somebody who got a Medal of Honor. I can't even begin to imagine how somebody could be running around with bullets coming at them in Afghanistan saving their fellow platoon members. But again,
yes, and I understand that you help U.S. veterans and as a volunteer and so what do you do and how did you get involved with the veterans?
Well, I met somebody who was a veteran and actually had set up a foundation to help veterans because he was a veteran. It's called MVAT, M-V-A-T. And this organization does everything from raising money to help veterans stay in their homes in case there's not enough money there to teaching them techniques for job interviews, which is what I do, and of course I volunteer. But that's how I got into it. And of course, my book, Acting Techniques for Everyday Life, I was thinking today, my goodness, I've coached everybody from lawyers for the presidents of the United States to people who are social phobic and literally can barely leave the house to come and have a session with me. And there, you know, it's by divine accident or something that I figured out that the techniques that I learned laboriously as an actress were techniques I could use in real life to make me feel better when I was nervous, when I was not presenting my best self. So with the veterans, it can be any technique. There's always, everybody's a little different. Sometimes people only need to learn to take a breath, because when we're nervous, we stop breathing. I mean, people go to hospitals full of senile symptoms, and when they give you oxygen, the symptoms disappear. So imagine just taking a breath in the middle of a job interview centers people and allows them to, again, be back in their alive self, because obviously if you're trying to hire someone, you want somebody alive. And not depressed.
It would be good if they stay alive. And, you know,
yes, I would like to have someone dead be at this desk and see if people coming into the office notice that. No.
I've never seen a dead body that looked happy.
Exactly. I have discovered, which may not be a surprise to everybody, but that when people hire people, there's an unconscious desire to hire the people with the most joyful, alive energy. Why? Because I think secretly, or maybe consciously, that's what we really are hungry for. So to have someone in your office who has that secret, how do you stay joyful? How do you stay alive? How do you live your life as fully as you can? So that specific state of being is what I lead people to remember, because I think we all have it when we grow up. I heard some figure about children, you know, kids at 3 months old, they're laughing more than people in their 30s.
That's true. And you know, I think a laughter also, a smile or a laughter draws people, endears people to you. Don't you think that is true?
I do. And even scientifically, I don't know why I'm on a science kick right now, but the truth is that our bodies do emit a certain chemical which strengthens our immune system. So, and obviously when we're healthy, we feel strong and we're happy because pain and illness is not fun. But I think people, when you're smiling and you're emitting that, they get it on a very deep level. They understand that the body, the person in front of them, is strong and healthy, and that's, we all want to be near that because we think it's catching, because I think it is. As we know, if you're around really depressed people, it's not as much fun. I mean, unless, frankly, I'm in one of my therapeutic sessions, in which case I have learned how to protect myself from it, which is a good thing because, you know, I'm not going to choose voluntarily to be depressed.
You know, that's a very important point you're teaching us right now, because I think that if we allow ourselves to be in a negative environment of people who are negative all the time, and because we get some of that negativity on us that emits to us, I think that just what you said is very important, that we need to learn how to reject that negativity, even if we have to work around negative people. And how do you do that? Maybe you're on the stage and all these people are negative and you feel really good about your part and you're ready to go and you can't get this positive energy out of them. How do you maintain your positivity?
Well, I mean, I love to tell this story about Marilyn Monroe because it's such a clear example of someone using an acting technique called sense memory, although now hospitals are using it to have people get through operations with shorter hospital stays and less pain medication. So what it is you just remember something that has made you feel joyful with actually any one of your senses. And the Marilyn Monroe story is she was suddenly in London shooting a film with Sir Laurence Olivier, and she was totally, I don't think it was only so much that she was intimidated by a man who people considered the greatest actor in the Western world, but also it was a very negative set. Sir Laurence was not particularly enamored of Miss Monroe. He probably understood she would steal the picture, but for whatever it is, she got into her first scene and she was totally frozen. All the joy and aliveness that we love about her was gone. Luckily, she had an acting coach. Why she couldn't have remembered herself, I don't know. But anyway, Paula Strasberg was there, and she reminded Marilyn to think of, actually, there were two sensory things. One was Coca-Cola. Apparently, Marilyn loved Coca-Cola. So sensorily, she might have felt the bubbles up her nose or the taste in her mouth. And the second thing was Frankie Sinatra, because Marilyn had a wonderful affair with Frank Sinatra. And her whole body comes alive. You watch her in those shots, she does. She acts poor Sir Laurence right off that screen. But she knew what to choose. And it's not that hard when just, you know, in my workshops, I just say, hey, what's your favorite food? Or what's your favorite piece of music? And people start smiling. What's your favorite perfume? Is there a flower? So these senses go right to our unconscious. It's quite remarkable, but it's how we're made. So thank you, God. Because we don't want to be miserable all the time.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, also what you're telling us is that we have to be proactive and we have to want to learn and we have to want to change our attitudes. Is that true?
That is so profound, because all it takes is, I mean, it's not like I don't, I get, all right, here's a perfect example. I was auditioning for a Steven Spielberg film, and the woman he co-produces with somebody named Kathleen Kennedy, and she walked into the room, and I felt myself freeze. She is everything I was taught to be intimidated by and feel less than, because her hair was neat, her trousers had a perfect plumb line to the floor, and then I remembered, and apparently I wanted this role so much, it was a film called Arachnophobia, that I remembered to sensorily imagine she was my friend Anna, my best friend from college, who wore this bright blue coat, and we had these outrageous adventures, and I literally felt, as soon as my body relaxed and I was having fun with Anna, I saw Kathleen's entire being relax, and we were having fun. Yes, making that change and daring to know in a moment when you need it that you're allowed to get the job, or you're, that's what I obviously teach a lot of veterans, or that you don't have to fall back into that space of intimidation, that we do, in fact, as you were saying, have the tools. And what inspires the motivation to make us be all we can be? It's a mystery, and I think it's different for everybody. And it almost, for me, it doesn't matter what it is, so long as people somehow choose to change their depression or intimidation into joy, into relating to human beings, which I think also feeds our souls so we're stronger.
And I think it keeps us younger, too, you know, emotionally, and keeps our bodies younger, too, because when we're happy, the faces are glowing. You can feel that magnetism. And
yes, actually,
when somebody is negative, it's like, oh, gosh, I don't want to go into that space.
That's not what my passport's for. No.
Yeah.
On the level of how it makes us stronger and younger, I just heard that there were these nuns in Cambodia who were working with the starving children who later said that the nuns who laughed, those were the ones who survived. Even in Auschwitz, the Jews who were incarcerated, the ones who laughed survived. That there is some magic about joy. It keeps us young. It keeps us strong. What does that mean? It keeps us dancing. It keeps us involved with life. It keeps us relating to human beings.
I think you're right on track.
I think that really is what young is. All this, oh, we're in a culture that only worships the young. But I think what we really are worshiping is what we're talking about. The desire to be in connection with somebody, the desire to feel good or to give a gift. One of the acting techniques in the book for a lot of public speakers who freeze is, the technical name is a psychophysical action, but the idea of doing service when you're speaking relaxes a lot of people. Anyway, I've lost my train of thought. We're talking about so many things. But
that's okay, because you know what? It all comes together, because we're talking to Jane Marla Robbins, and she has a best-selling book, Acting Techniques for Everyday Life, and she's telling us about how to improve our attitudes and be proactive and learn from her techniques, because she's a coach, she's a lecturer, she's an actor, she's a scriptwriter. She's been on Broadway. She's been off Broadway. She's starred in a few appearances on Rocky on the television show, too. That must be exciting for you as well.
There were three Rocky movies. The first one, of course, won an Academy Award, and it was Sylvester Stallone's very first script. And he had the will or the ambition, again, what makes motivation so powerful in one person. He refused to sell that script to any studio at all unless he could star in it. And he did, and then we all got an Academy Award. We didn't know what we were doing. I mean, the director knew what he was doing. He was brilliant, John Avildsen. But it was wonderful. It was it was to be part of something that, you know, 40 years later, people are still worshiping. I get letters from people, oh, you were in Rocky, will you sign this picture? And there I am in the pet shop being totally goofy with birdseed in my hair because suddenly the director had told me I had to be mean as the character, so I really worked hard on being mean. And then Sylvester stopped the cameras and he turned to got the director in a corner. He said, why is she being so mean? And John came and said to me, Jane, not so mean. It's like, and I don't know what it is. Again, it's inspiration. It's somehow you're there together with people to do a good job and the inspiration comes. And I saw this bird seed. We were in a pet shop. I put it in my hair. I'm shaking my head. And that character is amazing. So that's why they brought me back for two more films.
Well, he had good vibes, good instincts about his intellectual property that he brought to the screen, right?
And, totally. And I understand that there was a play I wrote, which was finally done in New York. But I remember the head of the Schubert saying, Jane, why won't you give this to Vanessa Redgrave to act in? You would get it on. But I was not valuing myself as a writer. I was desperate to be a movie star, probably to make my mother happy. And I wouldn't give up that script. Now, would I have become a writer earlier? Again, there's no, who knows how our lives turn out. And I remember when we were all hanging out for Rocky I, Sylvester had heard that I had done this one woman play in New York that had gotten rave reviews. And he said what his dream was to do a one-man show about who wrote The Raven, Nevermore, Edgar Allan Poe. And look how his life, you know, took different roads, entirely different roads. So we don't know. And finally, I came to know I'm meant to be a coach and a writer. So that's what I'm doing.
You just don't know. I mean, we have so many twists and turns in our life that we didn't plan for and probably couldn't have planned for. So, you know, and so sometimes, you know, like you wrote and I read, which I found so inspiring, was When Your House Burns Down.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, I'm a writer.
The
house did burn down. And it was
and,
odd.
You know, that
I had
touched
just,
me because that touched me because so many of us have had incidents in our lives where we were wiped out and we had to start over again. And so people don't understand, you know, that people who are, you know, achieve things in life sometimes have grave setbacks, but your thinking of being positive and laughing and smiling and moving forward, now you're helping and you've been helping so many people, you know, lose their thought about being depressed or not being able to take the next step and go on because you're making them laugh and you're teaching them how to overcome anything in life, basically, that comes along their
way. I love that. I mean, again, with my writing, even with my coaching, where does the wisdom come from? So I wrote that article about the fire, and parts of it are funny. And then, of course, parts tear your heart out, but it's about recovery. It's how do you get back on your feet? How do you live through the post-traumatic stress, which is inevitable, and come out the other side? Whether it's and now that I haven't read that article in a long time, but I remember I think it ends with talking about the dog from next door. I'm still writing about dogs who came and cheered me up all the time. And how do you dance with that? It was a black dog, so he reminded me of the ashes, but somehow he also represented life to me, and I clung to that, and here I am in a house that's not burning. Thank you, universe.
Yes, and you talk about dancing with animal and, you know, and holding him and different things like that. And
When I lost my train of thought about what it means to be young, and you've just chosen the word dancing, to dance with
yes.
the dog, which is kind of metaphorical, but as I was saying, or I was having this thought in my brain, the worship of youth here, whether it's not about numbers, it's about keeping that resilience and childlike joy of dancing with life, the joy of moving with whatever life is, whether it's a dog, whether it's another person, you know, whether it's sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for remembering that.
Oh, absolutely. And so, again, what was the name of your new book that you're going to be publishing?
It's Dogs in Topanga. And it's books one and two, because there's a little book out now, Dogs in Topanga, with the poem that I read for you initially. But that was published 10 years ago, and since then I've had more books and more requests for more poems, so here it comes. Maybe by Christmas, I hope. Making the covers is always something I control, and the last cover for the Cafe Mimosa in Topanga took me 9 months till I knew what to do with a photograph and put the right lettering on it. And, you know, without ego, it's a work of art. So many people put in inspired suggestions. So when I get the picture of the dogs on the cover and see which poems I'm going to use, that'll be the new book. And then who knows what after that, Rose, right? Life's a mystery for me.
Oh, life.
You just
life
don't know. Am I going to be a man and live in Paris? That'll
well,
be
that's
open,
more
right?
My fantasy.
Is that your fantasy?
Yeah, well, I
it's not a bad
Italy,
one. It's a magical city. It has a lot of, apparently, if you breathe the air, it's the equivalent of, you know, smoking 400 cigarettes a day, but maybe they'll fix that by the time we go there.
And Jane, do you have any workshops or classes or anything
all the
like
time,
that online or coming
the time.
Up?
I have a studio here in Topanga, California, and almost every month, people, you know, call, email, janemarlarobbins@gmail.com, and they show up, and I do the workshops. I also coach one-on-one. So, yes, okay. And the veterans I do about once a month, the female veterans, that's a new thing I'm doing for their job interviews, because obviously the transition from being in the military, which is a mindset that they know how to really hammer into your head, is the opposite of following your intuition and your joy. So that leap into civilian life is a challenge, and I feel really grateful that I get to help people with it.
Absolutely.
So I never know who I'm going to coach next.
Especially the veterans. And so, do you have a set fee, or
It depends on the workshop, how long it is, who's showing up, where it is, who's organizing it. I think next year I'm doing one at the Topanga Library, and that will be free for everybody. And there's a meetup that somebody set up for me, and that's $25 for 2 hours. And frankly, when lawyers come for a session, I just bat my baby blues and I say, here's what I charge. Whatever you charge an hour, that's what I charge. So I can get $425. That was the last cheap lawyer that came to study with me.
I
guess you call that a sliding scale, right?
Right, that is definitely, and that's something they usually don't do. It's a flat fee.
It's like flat, right on your face.
And nothing's guaranteed either. We don't guarantee we're going to win the case, but that's the flat.
You know, I don't guarantee either, but I have to tell you, people leave happier and more themselves when they leave, probably because they have so much fun. I mean, you're learning and you're laughing, and you're somehow the laughter allows you to be open to what I think is the great courage of choosing to make your life better, of choosing to find a way that's a little different so your life can be fuller and more full of joy. It takes great courage to come to me, but finally we have so much fun, it's painless. Not only is it painless, people leave, you know, feeling better, which makes me very happy too. So we're all happy. Can't beat that.
Oh, Absolutely, and it's such a joy to talk to you because you always have me laughing and smiling and feeling better. And I love
that. Well, I think that's our purpose, right? If we can do that, it's a good
And I learned some things from you today, too, as well as the audience. And so, you know, because these techniques are something you have to practice, right?
I think, you know, what's interesting for me, for example, that story I gave you about getting the Spielberg film that I just immediately turned somebody into my friend Anna because I heard her laugh or I saw her stringy weird hair or her blue coat. If I'm feeling not great and I look at someone and I pretend they're Anna, oh my God, they open up, I open up, and my whole physiological energy and hormonal structure is changing. So that's a regular for me. I always know I can use that. And then it's about making the choice. But they, you know, they say it takes 17 times to learn something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe I've used Sweet Anna 17 times, but I know when I do that, my whole body relaxes. And I just thought of her, and I felt my shoulder go down, my voice dropped into my body. Because when we're safe, when we feel loved, then I think we're our strongest self. We're relaxed, we're confident, we're centered, because we know we're safe, we're taken care of, whatever words one would use to equate all those states of being. Anna does it for me. A piece of piano music does it for me. And then my shoulders go down and I'm smiling because it makes me happy. I call it my happy piece. It's a piece by Chopin, manic depressive of all things. But that piece always makes me smile.
Yes,
again, if I'm eating white, ripe peaches, that makes me smile and relaxes my whole mouth. There's so many choices for so many people. Right? Are those the best?
Well, it's true, though. I mean, I love figs because my grandparents had a fig tree that I used to go as a kid, you know, rinse them off the hose and ate the fig. You know, it was my favorite fruit. So I, you know, I drive to Mother's or Trader Joe's just to get figs. I wait every summer for those figs, you know, because they're the only ones that sell them pretty much.
You don't have a fig tree yet?
No, and I thank God for, you know, creating the fig tree.
Well, and actually there's a poem in the Buddha book about apparently the Buddha sat under a fig tree. And that's where he was inspired to whatever he did to make Buddhism come into the world. So you're also onto something else. I used to carry around, I've lost it of all things, but my grandma Isabel, whom I loved very much, she gave me some ivory heart. Now we don't touch elephants, but anyway, all I had to do was feel that in my pocket and I felt safe and taken care of. So the fact that you have the double whammy of the good taste of the figs plus the memory of your grandparents, who I'm sure loved you, I can tell from your talking about them. It's that feeling of sweetness. What does it mean to have sweetness in our lives? I think that also relaxes us.
You just taught me something else. I definitely think of my grandparents when the happy times when I eat those figs. Maybe that's why I look forward to them.
Well, there's a wonderful story Stanislavski gives when he's talking about sense memory, that his parents, they would fight, and then he realized all he had to do was bring them some cucumbers, and they were back in love again, and it turned out that the father had proposed marriage to the mother in a field of cucumbers.
Oh,
so it's the same story of you and your grandparents in the fig tree. And actually, my mother had a fig tree on her little terrace in Manhattan. She loved those figs. So I just finished my package of figs. They weren't fresh, but they're also.
We have something else in common: books, laughter, and figs.
I can't think of a better combination, right? Eating with somebody and laughing and having sweet things in your mouth that explode in your mouth. I mean, there is a tradition of joy of the body, too. Just that in your mouth, if you love the taste. And it does, they do explode in your mouth.
I think that's why I loved Italy so much, is because it was so, people were really into talking to each other, enjoying food and talking to each other, taking their time. They weren't in a big hurry, you know, drinking their lattes and espressos, and they were actually communicating. And I think that's what you're all about, is communicating joy and laughter. And so, Jane, we're at the end, unfortunately. And so we're talking to Jane Marla Robbins, who gave us a wealth of information and joy and laughter today. And she does lectures, and she's a coach, and she holds workshops, and you should contact her. And so where can they get your books, Technique for Everyday Life and the Lesson of Buddha?
Acting Techniques for Everyday Life is on Amazon, along with the poetry books. And janemarlarobbins.com will give you lots of information about me. And my email, janemarlarobbins@gmail. So it's easy to find me. Those three names that my mother gave me because she thought it was a good name for an actress.
And it turned out to be
feasible.
A good name for an actress. Your mom was right. Thank you so much, Jane. It was a pleasure talking to you again.
Oh,
you
always
smile on our faces.
Me too. Thank you. Let's smile through the day as much as we can, then. Okay, bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Jane Robbins, Jane Marla Robbins, you have to look her up online, and you have to look up her books and on Amazon.com and go to her website, because if you want to change your life and your attitude and find out how your attitude towards life and your unhappiness can be changed into happiness is for you. And the books are for you, the workshops and the classes, and speaking with Jane Marla Robbins is a joy. So God bless you, and God bless America. And remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you talk to Rose the Rose at ColumboChronicles.com every Wednesday.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.